The FCC wants to ban the use of legacy ELTs. Seattle's Museum of Flight gets serious about getting a shuttle. And a mining company's entire board of directors is missing along with its plane. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, June 22, 2010. First, it was the California State Legislature moving to wipe out the state's flight training industry with a law that passed under the radar of the alphabet groups. Now, with a wildly careless stroke of the pen, the U.S. Federal Communications Commission adopted an order June 1st, published June 15th, that bans the further certification, manufacture, importation, sale, or use of 121.5 MHz ELTs. The commission appears to have based its decision in part on the discontinuance of satellite monitoring of legacy ELTs last year. The Aircraft Electronics Association says it didn't get wind of the new order till yesterday, and there's no indication yet on the date it might take effect. AEA is advising its members to stop selling new 121.5 MHz ELTs until it can argue for a reasonable period of transition. Given the fact that fixed-wing aircraft can't legally fly without working ELTs, a rapid implementation would effectively ground much of the GA fleet. We'll tell you more when we know. Seattle's Museum of Flight will break ground on its new space gallery 1 week from today at 10 a.m. and will announce the state's major commitment to bringing one of the three retiring space shuttles to Seattle. There are three shuttles left in the fleet, and Discovery is headed for the Smithsonian. The decision on where Atlantis and Endeavour go will be based mainly on non-economic factors, but whichever institutions get them will still have to come up with about $29 million each, plus moving and display expenses. The Museum of Flight's mission is to acquire, preserve, and exhibit historically significant air and space artifacts. To that end, the museum is moving forward with plans to build a state-of-the-art facility capable of housing a space shuttle and other space artifacts. An Australian mining executive, two pilots, and what has been described by Mining Weekly as the entire board of an Australian mining company called Sundance Resources are reported missing in the Republic of Congo after the plane in which they were flying failed to land as scheduled in Yangadu. There were reportedly 11 people on board. The company said Ken Talbot and his employees had visited the company's iron ore project in Cameroon and Congo. A spokesman for the Talbot Group said the last communication from the plane was about 30 minutes into its flight, and there was no indication at the time there was anything wrong. Australian Prime Minister Kevin Rudd says the Australian government will fully support the search efforts. Quote, "We will leave literally no stone unturned in our efforts to try and help what is a concerning set of developments for these families," unquote. Trading of the company's stock has been suspended while the search goes on. Up next on ANN, BRS restructures to accommodate its need to grow. Two companies collaborate to market ion propulsion. And an Apache helicopter has been flown on biofuel. You're listening to Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits? That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wasp Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wasp GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for June 22nd. I'm Paul Platt. Ballistic Recovery Systems announced on Friday it's completed a capital restructuring totaling $1.8 million in a combination of debt and equity. High F Incorporated, a private fund based in Miami, completed a series of investments, including the purchase of the company's bank debt, and becomes BRS's biggest shareholder. CEO Larry Williams commented, quote, "We are pleased with our investors' confidence in our management team and its ability to execute our strategy to become a significant player in the aerospace and defense industry," unquote. Aerojet and NEC Corporation have signed an agreement to jointly supply ion propulsion systems derived from Japan's Hayabusa spacecraft to the U.S. and Japanese aerospace markets. Hayabusa is what the Japanese call the Peregrine Falcon, a bird which can dive at speeds well over 200 knots. The spacecraft's claim to fame is that ion propulsion allowed the efficiency necessary to complete its 7-year mission to collect a sample from an asteroid. After chemical rockets used for maneuvering failed, the mission was salvaged and the sample returned to Earth by creative use of the ion drive system. The Hayabusa ion propulsion system was developed jointly by Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency and NEC. The system uses microwaves to ionize the propellant and carbon fiber grids to accelerate it, resulting in long life, high mission reliability, and 10 times the efficiency of conventional propulsion systems. UOP LLC says a Royal Netherlands Air Force Boeing AH-64D Apache helicopter has been flown using fuel produced using Honeywell's green jet fuel process technology. Natural oils from algae and used cooking oil were converted into green jet fuel, which was blended 50-50 with traditional jet fuel and used to power one of the Apache's engines for a series of test maneuvers. No modifications were made to the engine or the airframe for the flight. Turkish Airlines has placed a firm order for an additional Airbus A330-200. The purchase joins existing orders for 12 other A330s and 24 A320 family aircraft that was signed in 2009. The newly ordered aircraft will be powered by Rolls-Royce engines and delivered in 2011. To date, Airbus reports more than 1,000 orders for the various versions of the A330. Still ahead, Cirrus has a new retractable gear simulator for the SR-22. Your Caravan now has an even more powerful turbine option. And the FAA allows just this one LSA to go over max gross weight. You're listening to AeroNews.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, June 22nd. I'm Paul Plack. At this past week's COPA migration, Cirrus unveiled an accessory which makes the SR-22 a more complete training aircraft. The Cirrus Landing Gear Simulator allows simulating both the operation of retractable landing gear and, at the instructor's option, its failure modes while the aircraft is in flight. Cirrus VP of International Sales Ian Bentley made the announcement at M8, noting the ability to simulate retractable operations in a fixed-gear plane already equipped with a Garmin-based glass panel, quote, can add this experience to a training curriculum without the added expense of a dedicated aircraft for this specific training, unquote. The system consists of the pilot interface panel, the instructor fault select panel, a warning horn push button, and an independent circuit breaker for the system. The Cirrus Landing Gear Simulator installation is available on new Cirrus aircraft or as a retrofit. AeroTwin has received FAA approval for improvements in its Honeywell turbine installation in Cessna Caravan 208 and 208B aircraft. The company's original STC was awarded July 24, 2007, making it the first FAA-certified Honeywell engine upgrade for the Caravans. The recent improvements for the Honeywell engine conversion include FEAKI for gross weights of up to 9,062 pounds for 208Bs incorporating AeroAcoustics APE-3 gross weight increase, including aircraft with cargo pods. The 208 Caravan FEAKI weight has been increased to 8,360. Relocation of the batteries to the aft fuselage maintains the aircraft's weight and balance within its empty CG limits. Only factory new engines are installed with a 5-year, 2,500-hour warranty. There's also a 12-month warranty on the AeroTwin components. The Honeywell engine provides 850 horsepower for the 208 and 950 for the 208B. Find more details in the print version of this story, dated June 21st, at aero-news.net. And finally today, the FAA has given Terrafugia an exclusive exemption to allow the transition flying car to add an extra 110 pounds of gross takeoff weight and still be classified as a light sport aircraft. The exemption will allow carrying airbags, an energy-absorbing crumple zone, and a protective safety cage required by the Federal Motor Vehicle Safety Standards for cars. Max takeoff weight rises to 1,430 pounds, but only for this model. That sound you hear in the distance is the screaming of a bunch of guys with Cessna 140s and no medicals. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Eric Lindberg talks about the value of prizes in spurring technology and what the XPRIZE has meant in his life. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.